Then I get here and I see that it's the sermon, so you guys can even take a nap if you want. It's all good. We don't care. I was thinking about my testimony at work the other week, and I about fell asleep. And did I mention I have no idea what I'm going to say? Well, it was a Monday. I was thinking about it. It was just boring. 49 years of failure. Who wants to listen to that? Tuesday came to the same conclusion. Then Wednesday, I was reminded of the scripture that says, when you are in front of your accusers, do not be afraid. The Holy Spirit will teach you what to say at that time. And instantly, the realization hit me that I've been writing poetry for a while now, anyway, months anyway, since I started this new path of mine. And it's like, I don't know what to say, but I've already written it down. And so I'm going to take a little different approach. And I thought I knew what I was writing when I was writing it, but it has changed now that I've put it into a context. And so I'm pretty excited. You can still take a nap. It's my testimony. To kind of put this into a context, this first one came to me over 10 years ago. Middle of the night, I woke up and these lines were going through my mind. I have no idea why. I may have been drunk. May have been something else, I don't know. But I woke up and knew that I had to write them down. And I've never written anything since, up until recently. It's starting to make sense to me. Beneath the crust I lie submerged. Day fades to night, winter gives way to life. You build on a horizon beyond the horizon, nearing the heavens as your layers form. You laugh at your borders and you are released. Like an oak you begin your march, towering through your many courses. You cut the earth with your knife, destroying what's above, revealing what's below. And then I still laid submerged for another 10, 12, 13 years. I don't know. It's been a while. I like God is funny stories. I think Angie, I can't remember exactly what she called them, but it's kind of the same thing. Not getting attacked by a goose. Yes, thank you. I call them God is funny moments. I had one last summer. I struggled with, on the surface, I'll call it addiction. More than that, it was hate, bitterness, contempt is a good word. And I actually said it, God, if you think you can do better. And I went to the liquor store last night, got a pack of smokes, and I'm still here this morning. That's my testimony, that I am here. But God said, I kind of think that I could. And he gave me a couple of things to do. I started reading some devotions in the morning, some scripture. And I did that for a couple of weeks, and it was a Friday, and I said, okay, now what? He said, go to church. No. No. I that's not my thing. I know people there. People there know me. And he persisted. And that Sunday morning came around, and in my brilliance, I said, well, God, I don't even know when church starts. He says, well, your parents get home about 11:30 each day. I'm guessing that sometime around 11 o'clock, maybe. So maybe 10 o'clock. That's logical, but. So I said, okay, fine. I'll be ready to get there at 10 o'clock. About quarter till, I was bored, had 15 minutes to kill. So, you know what? I thought I'd just play a couple games on my cell phone, knowing full well that a couple minutes would turn into hours and, gosh, missed the whole thing. Little did I know that having added apps to my phone for the devotionals changed my screen around, and I went to hit my game, and it's now a devotional titled Do the Right Thing. Yeah. Funny, God. So I went out to the garage, jumped on my car, I mean my bike, and clunk. Thank you. Thank you. It had a flat tire. It's like, yeah, I'm going to be late. This is a bad idea, God. It was, well, you're not giving the sermon that day. And plus, there's an air compressor right behind you. Funny, God. So I pump up the tire, and I head up to church. It's like, you know, I'm going to be walking in late. Go sit in the back row. You can sneak in, nobody will see you. You can sneak out beforehand, nobody will see you. Just go to church. So I did. And it's a church I grew up in. And I pull in the parking lot, and I don't see any cars. I cruise around to the front of the church. There's not a car there. Turns out they were having a family retreat. Church was at a different location. And I could feel the finger on my shoulder. See? It's not that difficult to do what I ask. Just do it. The next day, God told me to quit my job. Okay, God. That Tuesday, the next day, I had a interview with Prairie Ridge. I pulled out the last $170 that I had in my life, knowing that I had to spend $150 for the eval. And I sit down for that, and one of the first questions is, are you employed? And I said, no. I left out the fact that I quit yesterday. And I said, you qualify. There's no cost for the evaluation, and if you are accepted, there'll be no cost for the treatment either. Funny, God. So that's kind of how I started out. And then I started doing some journaling while I was at Prairie Ridge. And just about happenstance and events and whatnot, nothing. But anyway, so to get back into my testimony, who was I? I mentioned my bitterness. Seen but not heard, the concept is absurd. Brought into this world, destined a dullard, no pennies for thoughts, just tossed out with the dross, simmering in time to an unctuous brine. Woe if surprised when you hear with your eyes. I was bitter. But I was persistent. I set out on this path much the same every day, searching for tokens along the way, some that were shiny, some that were dull, all that remind me of things seen before. Maybe tomorrow I'll find something more. I set out on this path as I did yesterday, picking up tokens along the way, most of them shiny, a few that are dull. The basket I carry won't hold too much more. I'll place them in a closet, close the door. I set out on this path day after day, storing up tokens along the way. Those that were once shiny are becoming dull. Futility compounds when I add up the score. A voice tells me, go. Go where you've not gone before. So I started looking. Is that a fork in the road, you might say? A fork in the road offers food for thought. The contemplation of a thickening plot. No book has been read where no foot has tread. If there is no hurry, then why do I worry? I must keep on walking and let God do the talking. Another childhood saying that I remember is, man will always let you down, but God never will. And in my contemptuous nature, full of bitterness and rage, there was a time in which I called the suicide prevention line, around 20 years old or so. And one of the hardest things I've ever done in my life was seeking help. And dialed the number, voice answered, told them basically that I wanted to kill myself. And they said, okay, well, do you use drugs or drink? Yeah. Well, call us back when you quit. I'll be dead, but I'll try. So that was one of my first recollections of reaching out for help. God, man will let you down. God never will. My bitterness increased. My angst, my rage increased. My worth decreased. Food for thought. What did Jesus do? Waited. There is no dark, just the absence of light. We play no part until our dreams take flight. Heaven hears a mournful heart, a soul redeemed from earthly plight. The Spirit does pray for us in words that we cannot utter. And praise God that we have a soul. There is nothing new under the sun. A question answered cannot be undone. I think, therefore I am. It kind of sort of misses the mark, for all my thoughts are filthy rags, which only lead me to the grave. Renewed in Christ, my mind is blessed. I am transformed when I think less. This one prior to Easter this year, and a movie scene that just has stuck with me is The Passion of the Christ, when Jesus is carrying his cross and you have his mother on this side and evil on the other, and the camera would pan, Jesus would turn his, anywhere you look, you're going to see what you want to see. Terror is so close at hand, with no attempt to hide his plan. Latch the shutters, guard the door, ill-prepared to fight before. The onslaught begins with the simplest thought. Does fate cast the die that determines my lot? Another question that's already answered. Upon my soul, Christ raised his standard. And good things do come to those who wait, not simply leaving things up to fate. Faith that this time will be nurturing, hope to influence what the future may bring, not accepting things as they are, patient assurance that God is not far. Faith and hope are two of these keys, but we know that love is the greatest of these. Who am I now? I'm the same person. I'm bitter. I'm spiteful, arrogant, proud, human, cliche. Steel envelops these sparks of green. My strength comes from knowing that this time is mine. I am not complete. I am not done. You want to know what? I'm going to have some fun. He Won't Fail. That last song, He Won't Fail. God is faithful. He watched me and waited. He watches you and he waits. You don't know what to say. You don't know what to do. Your soul does. Just seek and you will find. I promise. Philippians 2, verses 3, 4, 13, it says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. In humility, value others better than yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but to the interests of others, for it is God who works in you. God wills and acts in order to fulfill his good purpose. Amen.
Who am I now? How did Jesus change me? If you answer those three questions, and you can do that in three sentences. Adam took a few more sentences, but we wanted him to. I want to kind of give a few minutes. If you feel God leading you, and you want to come up and answer these three questions, we want to celebrate with you this morning. We want to celebrate what God is doing.
For anybody that doesn't know me, I'm Roger Rossum, and I've been coming here for quite a while. That first question, who was I? I was just a common, ordinary person. God took me from my inside out. That's the second one. What did he do? He took me from inside out, changed me. I mean, I'm whole new. Gave me wisdom, took care of me. Robert and everybody else took care of me. But God himself did this. The third one, who am I now? I'm a true believer in Christ. He gave me everything I need, plus he gave me all of you guys, and I have to love you also. That's it.
I'm nervous, so bear with me. My name is TJ. New to Mason City. Won't go into my whole story, but I went through Prairie Ridge. I had overdosed for the 12th time. Usually I'd wake up from that, pull whatever cords I had hooked up to me in the hospital and leave. And for the first time when this last time happened, I kind of just threw my hands up in there and just genuinely asked for help. I've been to treatment before, but it was always for quartz or I wasn't ready. And I'm still not 100% ready, you know. We did this thing at Prairie Ridge. At the end of the day, we had to like list how confident we were that we were gonna succeed, and I've been dealing with opiate stuff since I was 13, and like I don't want to get overconfident, but I've put a lot of areas of my life into just prayer. Probably within the last like 6 months, the first thing I do when I wake up is pray, and the last thing I do before I go to bed is pray. And the other thing is, you know, a lot of times getting into treatment has pretty long waiting list. I was able to get in by the grace of God. There was also some times I wanted to throw my hands up in there and just leave, and prayed about it, stuck through. I was also blessed to meet Pastor Robert and having the opportunity to have like a stepping stone back into the real world, and just, yeah, basically I think the biggest thing he did for me was being able to ask for help when it feels impossible. So that's all I got. I appreciate everybody here, and thank you.
Glad you're here. Feels weird, but it must be in the family. So, I'm Jerry. What's the first question? Who was I? I've been a lot of things. I'm 70 years old. Not been hardly out of Marshalltown, moved to Mason City, as far as geographical. But in my mind, I've been so many places. There's no word for losing a child, so. I've been that, and the parenting has brought me up and really let me down a lot. I guess it's what you make of it, and Jesus has always been with me, always, since day one, since going to the Assembly of God Church. My sister and I would walk there from Noble Street all the way back across town. I thoroughly believed in going there, but why didn't my rest of my family go with me? You know, it was Jackie and I, we had to go, but nobody else had to go. My mom didn't go. My dad didn't go, but I think he was a little bit more, what might I say, religious than my mom. Kind of wore off on me, but got lost. You know, it just wasn't there. The foundation wasn't there. And becoming all the things that I have become, I think that Jesus is still working on me, thank God. You know, he's still giving me everything I need, everything in my heart that I believe. And I want to thank all of you for being here today and letting me be part of this. Thank you.
Hey, Harvey. Big fan of Harvey saying my name back there. You know, as Sarah and Garen come forward to lead us in this next song, there are hundreds of stories in here that we could tell that go through this, right? And we just want to take a moment and just thank God for them. And so we're going to go into this next song, 10,000 Reasons. We just want to ask God that he would just show this to us and that we would just worship him and for what he's done in our lives and for what he's done. So would you stand with us?